guys, and welcome to the third NLSC podcast. I'm here with Leftos.
Hello, guys.
And I am Jousman. And as always, we have some community news for you. And again, as always, cool SeanJohn1414 and a couple other guys are just going... They're developing new graphics for 2K12 every week. They're doing a great job every time. So just check out their threads. They're just doing a great thing. We didn't have any Ultimate Base Roster updates this week, which is fine. The game still plays great with it. 707, a Patch of the Week winner when I was doing that earlier in the year, he released his slider set, which has been getting really good reviews. And remember, sliders can be used for the PC, the 360, or the PS3 version. So if you want to check out some sliders, I guess he's got a really good set over there. I released that NBA Live 2004 update that I had been talking about last podcast. I have a couple of videos of it up on my channel, but essentially it updates NBA Live 2004 with most of the logos, jerseys, and courts, and definitely an updated roster up past the Dwight Howard trade, which has been really fun, and I've been playing it for the past couple of weeks. I'd recommend checking that out if you have those discs still laying around. And finally, there's a lot of NBA 2K13 and NBA Live 13 discussion going on in the forums. Some pretty good debates, some pretty good discussions going on. Worth checking out, worth getting your voice heard, and I think we're going to be touching in on some of those topics today on the podcast.
Yeah, so to start off, 2K13 came with the news we were expecting this weekend over at PAX Prime, the Penny Arcade Expo for game developers. And the signature skill is the main feature, at least as far as everything we know so far goes. For 2K13, got all its info released with a nice, with a ninth community update on the 2K Sports Tumblr, which has all the information on all the signature skills except two, which are my player specific. They're exclusive to my player, and they're going to be released this week when we get, which is apparently a my player week, my career week for 2K Sports. And they're going to be releasing the first screenshots today, which is the day of recording of the podcast is Tuesday. So, yeah, we might be getting those live, at least as live as the podcast is being recorded. And we hope not to be outdated too much or miss on those. So let's start with what we do know, not what we don't know. So, signature skills. What's your opinion on the concept of the whole of it, John? What do you think? Are they a step towards... the right way, or are they just going to make the game more casual friendly, more arcadey, and not in a good way?
Well, in my opinion, I think it adds more strategy to the game, because you have these players that have these weapons, and it's not just a little icon that says this guy's a dunker, this guy's a three-point shooter. It's different when, you know, they want to go into the corners, or that this guy's going to chase you down on a fast break, or even the stone wall or the brick wall ability that knocks players over off screens. I mean, I think it's not for the casual player, in my opinion. I think it's more for the hardcore player that has to work around these kind of skill sets. And that was, I mean, the common, or the really easy comparison you can make with the signature skills are the freestyle superstars in NBA Live 06 and NBA Live 07. And they had similar things where they had specific animations and abilities. But 2K, there's no comparison, because 2K13 takes it a completely different way. These aren't ratings, these aren't animations, these are changing the way the dice rolling parts of the game are played out. So, I mean, to answer your question, I mean, I guess I don't see how this could be a more casual thing.
Yeah, okay. I pretty much agree. I mean, I had my doubts on the way the signature skills would be implemented. I was afraid that maybe they would be too insubstantial. So I was thinking that they were just rating improvements, some rating boosts and tendency boost, which were just rebranded as a marketing gimmick just to get something on the feature set of 2K13. But I was pleasantly surprised, and that doesn't happen often with 2K Sports.
Yeah.
So They are quite deep. I mean, there's my main concern was whether players could just equip signature skills without being good enough to have them, and this hasn't been answered exactly. But there are aspects of the signature skills which makes it different to have, for example, 60 overall player equipping them and a 90 overall player equipping them. I mean, there are specific signature skills which have descriptions like it gives a boost of up to 6 points. So my money is on the guess that that up to means that it depends on the player's rating or specific ratings and tendencies and abilities on the how big or small the boost will be. So the same signature skills could be applied and equipped to two or more players, but they could have a completely different effect, and that's a really nice thing to know. I mean, I didn't get to see what I was hoping for, which was seeing the signature skills get levels. Having, for example, there's the acrobat signature skill. I wanted to see something like how the abilities were done in 2K12, which wasn't on a 100-point scale. It wasn't 0 to 99, but they had average, good, great, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you got it, yep.
Yeah, so I wanted to see something like that for the signature skills, but if they depend on the player's ratings as much as they seem to be depending on, I would be fine with it. You don't need levels if they depend on the player's ratings and abilities that much.
Now,
so,
do you mean that you don't care if a poor 3-point shooter has the corner ability, or do you not care, or do you like the fact that you think that the 3-point shooter has to be a good 3-point shooter to have the corner ability?
I mean, a poor three-point shooter could still be downing more threes from the corner. So you can still be a 33% 3-point shooter, but doing 42% from the corner, just be city from the top of the key, from the top of the 3-point line. So, mm-hmm. Corner specialist. Since you bring that example up, I think it suits some 3-point shooters pretty well. And the example 2K gave in the FAQ that follows the Tumblr post was a good example. I mean, they're saying that LeBron James isn't a good blocker per se, but he's really good at chasing down players and blocking them on the break from behind and things like that. So, although he will have a low block rating, he will have the chase down artist signature skill, which will make him a better blocker on specific occasions. So that's like hotspots for blocking, which is good. I mean,
well, it's good.
It's not exactly hotspots, it's more like situations.
Yeah, but it still bothers me a little bit, because at the same time, could I take a skinny guy who has a 50 over, you know, a 50 strength rating, but give him brick wall and have those animations where he knocks the crap out of an opposing player that he's screening?
But still, it depends. I mean, you could give him brick wall, but it could still depend on his strength rating. So brick wall success could depend on the player's strength rating, and if he's a skinny, low-strength player, he could end up, you know, not being able to make use of that ability as much as he'd like, and as much as you'd expect him to. But again, these are just, you know, these are just guesses. We'll see what ratings each signature skill does. I mean, there's less than a month.
Oh yeah, but I mean,
2K12's and the 2K13's release. So,
but I really like the idea of it. It's a really great idea. But
yeah.
And I do like the idea of being able to have a skinny player or a guard or a point guard have that ability, because they could, you know, signify a dirty player.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
it's
really good to have those kind of skills available for everyone, just to kind of customize how they play.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do understand how people are a little worried that, you know, if there's the crew or some other kind of my player team up kind of thing for online this year, if they run into a point guard who has chase down, brick wall, and a corner specialist, but doesn't have a high rating for strength, blocking, or three-point shooting, but it's still deadly from those areas. I mean, they could exploit the game that way.
It all depends on how much care has been put into preventing things like that. It all depends on how well thought out this process was for VC, for Visual Concepts. They could have thought of all this, that all the worries that we have, and it could be that just we haven't heard so much details yet, and that we haven't gotten our hands on the game yet. And or it could be that they didn't actually think of as much stuff as we can think of collectively, and that things like that could be 2K13's cheese.
It is a concern, though, because their track record with exploits hasn't been the best.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the possibility of having four different floor generals, having attribute boosts to all the players on the team, that could pose be an issue if they all stack. And on top of that, talk about the track record, in 2K10 and 2K11, you know, you had the really tall players running around on the court because people were hacking their 360 saves or the PC saves. In 2K12, their solution for that is to make it impossible for the game to allow a player that is taller than, I think it was like 7'6", to be on the floor.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's a kind of a cop-out kind of way of doing it. If you make a player that's 7'7" by hacking the save file, it breaks the game. That's not the way you take care of an exploit.
So what are you saying? So what's the solution you're proposing?
I'm concerned that in an effort to take care of the possible exploits that could come from these signature skills, and you know, and I do agree that by the description, it sounds like they have it pretty well taken care of. That's only going to be minute little changes to the gameplay, not a serious gameplay changer like it was for Live when they did this. But my only concern is that if they get paranoid about exploiting these abilities online for competitive play, because they do that Virgin Tournament thing that deals with money, I'm just worried they're going to try to break the game in some way if you try to, you know, if you glitch the game out and apply six abilities, or if you, you know, do something of that nature that the game's not meant to do and it just breaks everything. Because it's selfish, because it ruins the customization options on the PC version.
Again, it all depends on how well thought out was this process for TK, the implementation of signature skills. And from just let me bring a developer's point of view in this. You're worrying that we could have players with more than five signature skills if they did it right, if they used the right way of creating the signature skill attributes for each player, it won't be able to hack the game into getting more than five signature skills on one player. I mean, they'll have to be pretty stupid to have, you know, more empty space, empty spots that are locked away, you know, part of a feature that never made it in the game. Players with six or seven.
You've seen the content that's on the disc, like, you know, the hidden gyms and the hidden
uniforms.
Yeah, but
that's different. That's,
but I'm saying for the roster, too, though, there's stuff in there that's not used. The players in the Redditor, the players 2 and the players 3 tabs. But my concern is if, let's say in the Redditor's terms, let's say Vlad decodes it.
Yeah.
And instead of having five columns that let you choose which signature skill is for that player, like 1, 2, and then 3 not.
Yeah.
If, let's say instead there's 31 columns, and you simply just check yes or no for each one.
So you're saying, oh God, that would be a pretty stupid way of implementing that. I mean,
yeah,
I can see where you're coming from. I mean, you're saying that each signature skill will be there for each player, and it's going to be a non-off switch. But that would be completely stupid. I mean, I can be sure about that, but you don't see, I mean, for example, the teams being all there for each player and having an on-off switch on each team. You pick one team, and it's team 1 and team 2, team 2 being, you know, whatever the something for the back logos or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm seriously hoping that they took the smart way doing this and gave each player five signature skills, and each signature skill is going to be picked out of a list, and not that
And that's
the signature
my hope
skills
too.
themselves are going to be a list, and that you're going to enable as much as you want. Let's hope that 2K has learned their lesson from past year's exploits and does this the right way. I mean, I'm not so. I feel we're over discussing the possibility of the signature skills implementation being completely screwed up, when I'm hoping that simple things like the right my player draft order or the team stats being correct this year could not be fixed at all.
Hey, you're a developer. You know the adage: you fix one thing, you break three others.
Those seem like stupid errors, really. I mean, how could you break how team stats are accumulated into after each game ends? I mean,
yeah,
they didn't change. I would have accepted that as a valid mistake if they added a new column to the box scores, some new stat, for example, charges or whatever, charges mm-hmm. taken. But there's there's no new columns in the box scores. How could they screw up the accumulation, the take what the team stat is already, add 14 more rebounds to it, and save that?
Yeah.
How can you screw that up? I mean, that's elementary. That's something that I could put a programming student in his or her first day do. It's
yeah, but
that
at the same time, I mean, how can you release a simulation game with a speed issue like that? I mean, I know we're talking a lot about 2K12 and how, you know, the patch exploits that I brought up, but it's important to remember that a lot of us were really disappointed with 2K12.
Yeah.
And it's great to hear all the things that 2K13 is, you know, they're claiming about it, the hype machine is in full force with that game, and they're doing a good job of hyping all of it. It's just a cause of concern when you see things like, hey, look at this all-star, you know, weekend video, and look at how great we're doing, and here are the rookie sophomores playing in blacktop uniforms using the showcase game in 2K12's My Player logos.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I mean, you know, I had to pick my jaw off the floor after I saw the self oop off the backboard, because that was just amazing. Thank you, 2K. But I'm not going to call it laziness, but remember the DLC for 2K12 allowed for players to wear their own team's uniforms against each other in a 5-on-5 game or whatnot. So that technology exists in the 2K, you know, coding, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy to have a random draft of a pool of the best sophomores and rookies to replicate what Shaq and Chuck did this past year, All-Star Weekend, instead of just doing the rookie sophomore game. But to have them wear blacktop uniforms, it just shocked me. I don't know how to describe that. You saw the video, right?
Yeah, I saw it. Although I couldn't care less about it anymore since we're not getting that on the PC, I saw
that's
the
true.
I have to have an opinion. I mean, I'm part of the NLSC staff now.
Well, you don't have to have an opinion on it. I mean, you know, I played the 360 version and all that fun. It's just, this is why I'm happy we have the PC version, because I can at least whip up some generic uniforms for these two teams rather than have this blacktop uniform, which, yes, I love blacktop mode. I hate the uniforms, okay? So,
you know, there's a whole thing where people find out, especially this year with Ultimate Base Roster coming out, where people who were console users of NBA 2K came to the PC. I haven't seen a single one of them go back. I mean, if you have a decent enough PC, you can get a better experience as far as the frame rate goes. We have all the modding, and what you're missing out is content that you're pretty much not going to be that much interested in after you see all the things you can do on the PC version.
But at the same time, we don't have online. And the reason why I own 2K10, 2K11, and 2K12 on both the PC and the 360 is so that I can play the 360 version online. And
yeah.
I bet you the 2K13 is not going to fix PC online. I don't care. But when that Black Friday rolls around or something and I can get the game for $30, that's when I drop on it. I grab it. So I pay a full $60 for the entire year of 2K basketball. And then I get to play online, which is worth it, in my opinion, to be able to play with my Xbox Live friends list, because I have plenty of people who want to play 2K with me. It's just I only use it for online. So that's why I'm kind of hoping And maybe we'll get a little tidbit about, not so much crew, but at least team up a little bit and see what they fix with online in this week's information about my career.
Yeah. They seem to be pretty excited about it. I mean, for anyone who hasn't seen what little information has been posted and all the hype, my player has, or my career, as they call it this year, although they're switching between the game and the names quite often.
I think the mode's called My Career, but the player is still My Player. I mean, it
So,
almost sounds
oh,
like
so there, yeah. So there's
it almost
aspects
sounds like there's
outside
a
of that?
mini game, like a game inside of a game where you load up My Career, which is like a different game, so you can take your player and play on your NBA team and play your like a normal My Player career. But then it also is a part of My Career because they had those VC credits or money achievement. So I'm wondering if there's some kind of money involved where you get points for playing in, maybe you take your player into an online league, maybe you take your player into a crew, maybe you take your player into Blacktop Games. I mean, there's different things that could be done that we don't know about. So I mean, just my early speculation before they say anything, I'm starting to think that my career could be something like the Showcase DLC we had for 2K12, where it's like a game inside of a game.
Let it not be a DLC, though.
It's not going to be DLC.
I
DLC
mean,
is like the worst thing a PC gamer for 2K could hear.
yeah, pretty much. I hope there's no more DLC announcements of stuff we'll be missing out and trying to unlock by doing things 2K doesn't like. But it's I wanted so much to complain about this, and I if this is there's no better time than now. I wanted some appreciation. I mean, we've talked about licensing issues with 2K not being able to give us some help with modding and all the stuff they all the work they go through to make it harder for us. But I mean, if you are a 2K management, a part of the 2K management right now, you want, after what happened this year and all the sales, I'm betting that Ultimate Base Roster got 2K. The late PC sales, I'm pretty sure they got a boost in those in their graphs, a sudden jump that they didn't expect. I mean, you should be secretly not, you shouldn't be going public with this, but you should be secretly trying to help the modding community, because I'm pretty sure that although they won't ever admit to that, we're pretty much doing their work for them with all the
Well,
content we release over the year. And Ultimate Base Roster has been huge, has been
it's been
absolutely
huge,
huge.
but also the other huge part about it is that Ultimate Base Roster may have given people a reason to buy 2K12 on the PC, even though they already own it on the 360 or the PS3. But we also need to remember that while Ultimate Base Roster has been around for a while, but in my opinion, it wasn't really good at first. Oh yeah, you added a couple teams. Yeah, that's great. I don't really care. And then once he got to like the 150 team mark, I was like, damn, he is doing things to the roster I didn't even know was even possible. And now we're at the point where we're at 250 teams. We also have to remember that while that's a good reason to buy the game, the good way to get the game is the sales that were during the Steam sale. Amazon's had the game discounted multiple times for $10 and $5 as of last week. There's a Gamefly had the game available for $5. So you have to remember that while the sales will spike like that, it's going to be a little difficult for them to decipher, what kind of caused it. The good thing is that LD2K and Ronnie2K have to be aware that the Ultimate Base Roster exists.
Yeah,
They
they
know
are aware.
what we can
I'm
do.
pretty sure everyone at 2K is aware by now. They just can't admit that they like the thing because there's licensing issues, and then they'd have the whole modding community to answer to. They don't want that.
The licensing issues are difficult because we're not supposed to be doing what we do to the game. But since at the NLSC we're so anti-piracy, every time if someone's at the NLSC, they own the game. So, and we saw an influx of users just like everyone else. So, I mean, I just think it's good to have that relationship. That's why we fight and we're such sticklers about people who want to, do bad things to their game.
Listen to
That
that, listening to that, 2K. We love you.
we love you. Oh, no, we love you. We want 2K13. We want 2K14. We'd
Want
rather.
2K developers at the forums.
We just don't want, ignore the NBA-live.com. I mean, we support you guys. It's just, it's been the online issue, I think, is just an issue for me because it's been like this for 3 years. And we've openly complained to them 3 years about it.
Yeah.
And I know I've complained about it before, but just to see it not fixed, it just kind of feels bad. And I almost wish they just did what they did with 2K9 and just take out online for the PC completely.
Why take it out completely? What is that going to solve?
At least it stops teasing us.
Okay.
But whatever.
So it's a matter of self-restraint then.
I have tried loading up at least like five or I'd probably say a dozen games on the PC, and each time they didn't last more than a couple minutes where I just get sick of seeing PS2 graphics. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. I mean, we don't know what they're going to do this year. There's only one way to find out. It's just like with Blacktop mode. I'm not going to find out anything about that mode until someone gets their hands on a copy and they'll tell me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So about what we were talking about before, Ultimate Base Roster. Let me just throw this in here before you continue.
Awesome.
There's the complete guide to an improved NBA 2K12, which is not complete,
yes,
and not updated, but it was created January 18, and a user pointed out to me that I had spelled Hawk23's name wrong. So I went in to correct it. I had put him in as Hawk30. And I saw that the entry I had for the Ultimate Base Roster then, January 18, had 20 teams added to the game.
Yep.
So that was January 18, 20 teams back then. And when did Ultimate Base Roster hit the 250 team mark?
August or July.
Yeah, midsummer. Hawk has stopped adding teams for quite a while because he's hit the limit of what we can do with the 2K12 roster. He can't add any more teams or players, or the game will crash. So it's been over the course of 6 months. he and the team, I mean, we have to appreciate all the other people that are working in the background.
There's been a lot of people doing art and stuff for him.
Yeah, he's the coordinator, and he does a lot of the work for Ultimate Base Roster, but there's a whole team working on that mode, and they got 250 teams in the game over a course of 6 months. I mean, that's impressive. That's some really impressive volunteer work.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
never going to get paid for that. I mean, Hawk may have gotten some donations, but it's really nice to be part of such an active community that does so much to improve the game for everyone that isn't being a bitch about it and keeping their patches private or pay for or paid for. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So it has been a really nice year and gives me hope for 2K13. I mean, we'll have to go through the early grind of waiting until someone posts updated tools, and that could take a while. We won't be able to have good rosters until our editor comes out, which could be December or January, depending on Vlad's schedule.
Yeah.
And it is an early grind, but after all the work that was put into 2K12 and how it has kept my interest, how it has kept my interest going, even through all the bugs and the crashes and all the problems I've had with the game, I mean, 2K13 has managed to get me interested, not really excited. I mean, there hasn't been a feature yet which has gotten me really excited, so I shared that with you. I know that you feel the same way. You said so in a previous podcast, but having all those people willing to put work day one into 2K13 just makes me feel so much better about the game's prospects.
Yeah, and I mean, it's good to know that that we're all gonna hit it day one. We're all gonna hit it hard.
Yeah,
but I mean, I know I said last week that I'm not hyped at all for 2K13, and that is kind of true. But at the same time, I'm looking so forward to having a game that doesn't have the glitches 2K12 has, that has my right stick dribbling back, and a self off the glass hoop. I mean, there are just little things that I'm excited for, but as a grand total yet, I'm still not completely hyped for the game.
Yeah. Maybe, I mean, since the game is 4 weeks away, the demo is 2 weeks away, right? The demo coming out 2 weeks before,
two or three.
I mean...
Well, sometimes they do it 2 weeks before, sometimes it's 1 week.
Yeah, so we'll get an early glimpse. I mean, I'm pretty much expecting the usual 2K demo, which is going to suck.
Yeah.
Some 2 minute quarters, 2 minute, 1 quarter of 2 minutes, or whatever they do with the demo, no play calling, no substitutions.
Well, here's the interesting part, because before we found out that the demo is usually what they show off at GamesCon and other places.
Gamescom, you keep messing that up. It's Gamescom.
But, you know, usually the demo just comes straight from that. And what's interesting is that we know of two different demos for 2K13 that have been out right now. We have the 5 minute quarter that we saw at Gamescom between the Heat and the Thunder.
Yeah.
And then we have the one they had at the GameStop convention and PAX. And that was with the current Olympic champ, gold medal team and the 1992 gold medal team of the U.S. gold medal teams. So it would be interesting. I think it would be in their best interest to release a demo with those Olympic teams, because that would generate a lot of hype to want to play a full game with those teams, to want to play those teams against other teams. That'd be the best thing, but I'm honestly expecting a 2 minute quarter with the Heat and the Thunder, and then looking forward to Momentous Celtics, aka E.D., sequel to Patella Tendon Mendon. Did you see that?
Yeah, so I must have missed it. I didn't get to see it yet.
Well, it's a good video. You should check it out.
Yeah, yeah. We should have that in a link dump if we ever get around to giving. A link dump set up so you all can see what stuff we're talking about during the podcast.
Yes.
Bear with us. We're still working through that. So, okay, we've gone a bit off topic from the topic we began discussing. Yeah, a little bit. So let me just ask you a few more things about signature skills. So off the top of your head, favorite one, the one you were the most excited to see implemented as a signature skill?
You know, I'll be honest, I'm probably the chase down artist. Chase downs are really difficult. They've always been really difficult to do in 2K, and they've also been really difficult to do in a very satisfying sense. 2K11 did better at it than 2K12, in my opinion. I saw a lot of blocks in that game that were very organic, very powerful, like chase down blocks usually are. But with 2K12, most of the chase down blocks I saw were just little taps, and it just having a legitimate chase down block, it's almost as exciting for me as a huge posterizing dunk. So I'm really excited for that one.
Emphatic blocks is something that's been pretty much missing from the 2K animation set. Most blocks in 2K seem a bit awkward. Some are with the wrong parts of the body, blocked by an elbow or a leg sometimes. But I really want to see stuff like that in the game. I mean, being a Pistons fan myself, I just can't get past Prince's chase down block back in the championship years. I mean, that must be his brightest moment. I was disappointed not to see him in the list, but I guess he doesn't have the athleticism he had back in 2004. Yeah, he's getting old, but it will be nice to have even those older players that aren't going to be as athletic. It will be nice to have skills like that on them that can get him that can get them some bright moments during the game. I mean, Prince may not be the as fast as he was, but if he has the right position and he does some good transition defense, I'd love to see an emphatic chase down block from him. Still do that.
I'm trying to think of, I think it's called the shot creator or whatever it is.
Yeah,
the
shot creator. Yeah.
The one that you get the shot boost if you break your opponent down. I was trying the first initial disappointment of the list was that there wasn't anything to really replicate Paul Pierce's bag of tricks, if you will. And I think I figured out that one would actually do it, because he usually does one or two moves and then he gets to, you know, pump fake and draw the foul. But you know what I mean, though? Like he has those little hesitations. So I'm thinking that one might be able to affect him as positively and change the way that I guess my concern is, how is he going to play differently than Kobe? Because they both might have that same skill, but they use it completely differently.
I mean, it's all up to the animation packages that 2K gets in. If they can get a good enough variety, maybe you will be able to see that done. You know, I mean, we have player-specific dunk packages and free throws and layup packages, but I've seen LeBron James dribble in those gameplay videos, and he dribbles differently from anyone else and from everyone else, and that's something that I've seen an issue that a lot of the, you know, the perfectists of 2K have been complaining about. I mean, players that have a signature dribble not having it in the game. So maybe we'll see, since IsoMotion gets such a spotlight this year, with it being really important in signature skills such as the shot creator, I'm going to be betting that we're going to see differences in the ways that, I mean, for shot creator, the example players are Kobe Bryant, Kemba Walker, and Dwayne Wade. You can't have all those players playing exactly the same when doing that signature skill. So I'm betting that 2K has taken the steps towards variety in that aspect. We'll see. We'll see.
Well, what
but shot creator is the most impressive as far as description goes, because of all the criteria that needs to be fulfilled for the skill to be pulled off, for the skill to be activated. I mean, it says that the shooter must break his defender to create space. The shot creator must be closer to his matchup when he starts than when he's ending the breakdown. The shot must be taken within 2 seconds of the initial breakdown. The shot must be taken in a half-court context, so shot creator won't be activated on fast breaks, which makes sense. The shooter must not be smothered by the defender, so if you are able to keep your defender on the shooter, he won't be able to exploit that signature skill and just, you know, just activate it and get his shot down, because he can't do that. If you're playing defense well, most of the offensive skills can be countered. And that shows that 2K really put some thought into that, into the signature skills. There's other signature skills that are quite maybe don't have so many rules to them, but are quite impressive in the criteria and the effects they have. A controversial one is whether teams and players should be energized when something impressive like the posterizer signature skill allows players to do posterizing dunks and highlight film, allows them to try and pull off the most impressive dunk in their repertoire, and whether their teams should be energized by that. But it's things like that that I was complaining that signature skills should be new ratings and tendencies instead of this cheesy marketing thing before I read what signature skills are. And there's things like that that you can do with ratings and tendencies. There's really things like that that couldn't be implemented any other way. So I'm really glad to see things like that.
But I think my only problem with a posterizer like that is that when a big dunk is pulled off, everyone gets pumped up from it. That's not always the case, because I swear to you, when he was on the Celtics, because it's all about the Celtics, when Brian Scalabrine came into the game, if he slammed it on someone, the whole arena would have just erupted. You know, judging by the games that I've been there, I mean, we went nuts whenever he even made a shot. But I think it's just it's a great skill to have, but it just seems like it should be just a gameplay thing, that if you posterize someone with any player, it should give that boost, and not just for the Blake Griffins of the world. Because, I mean, because Blake can do it, that's great. But, I mean, what if, Big Baby Davis or Brandon Bass, you know, go up and slam on someone? That's not going to energize the whole team. I think it energizes the team more than it does a Blake Griffin slam or someone who's expected to do it.
Yeah. There's players that, as I said, I'm a Pistons fan myself, and we don't have any great dunkers in the team. But when someone that isn't expected to make a big dunk actually makes one, the whole arena is on fire, and all the players are pumped up, and that's obvious. So I'm thinking that I'm going to agree with you on this one. I feel it's more impressive when a player you're least expecting to poster someone actually makes that, it affects the team and the arena more than someone that posterizes players deliberately, and you've seen that already all too many times. So,
yeah.
But there's a lot of them in there. There's a lot of signature skills, and I like what I'm seeing from them. And I really liked seeing one of our own, Greg Monroe, a third-year player, getting in the example players. I mean, he was really known in Georgetown for his passing skills. Off the post, he could find players wide open while getting defenders collapsing on them. And that's something that you could already do in 2K12 and 2K11, but it's been given some additional effort to actually get power forwards that are good and centers that are good in passing the ball out of the post. And I got really annoyed in 2K11 when I tried to do that. I was trying to replicate myself from my few basketball years back in elementary and junior high. And when I was a power forward that was pass first because I sucked at shooting pretty much. But I could do some pretty impressive passes and get my teammates open. And I was so annoyed when the 2K insider or whatever was called in 2K11 came up and told me, no, you shouldn't be raising your pass rating. Get off my case. I mean, I like passing. I like having defenders collapse on me and passing it out to an open player. That's a thing for power forwards. And I like seeing that acknowledged with its own skill in 2K13. So
same
that's
here.
My favorite one. That's post like playmaker was the, my favorite one.
And I agree with you. I do think that overall this is going to be more for the better than it is for the worse. And if people don't like it, you know, we can always remove the signature skills from each player.
Yeah.
And then you'll get the same game that you had in 2K12. Well, you know, not the same game, but with that aspect removed.
Yeah. I mean, but once our editor comes out, it will be pretty easy to just put a zero on all the signature skills column and say, here you go. Here's a roster that has no signature skills at all. Go ahead. Have your fun with it if that's how you like the game.
So, Leftos, I think we've been agreeing too much.
Okay. What do you think we should disagree on?
Well, I've been watching this video multiple times this past week.
Which one?
Oh, just the NBA Live 13 leaked video.
Oh, that great video. Yeah.
Yes, that great video. And
great failure, maybe.
We did get some news this week with the IRB gamer saying that he talked to an EA rep at the GameStop Expo who confirmed the digital distribution sometime in October and the $20 price point, as well as saying that he is the main goal of the game is to just get feedback for NBA Live 14.
Yeah.
Now, just to touch on that real quick, I think that's a great idea. I discussed it before with you guys, that I like the idea of EA embracing the alternative role. And there was a Kotaku article that we actually didn't cover. Sorry, how's it work? Mentioned that EA should be trying to prey on grandmas and grandpas who are trying to buy little Billy a Christmas present, see NBA Live 13 and go, oh yes, I must get him this, a basketball game, instead of getting him the better 2K13.
Any price that's better than $60 would get that through.
Well, and that's great, and that's good for little Billy, that's good for EA's price point or whatever. As a gamer, I like it better with a $20 game where they might be listening to my feedback about the game. And I know 2K gets feedback, and you know Live has gotten feedback in the past. But if they're going to make an initiative out of this, you know that sounds a lot better to me than you know what else could be happening. But I'm gonna save my speculations and ideas for the end of this. I just wanted to talk to you real quick about some things that I noticed from the video. When was the last time you watched the video?
About a week ago. Just trying to see some issues that have been brought up that I didn't notice and some of the positives that I read that I also didn't notice.
Now, did you ever watch a single playthrough where you did not watch the ball handler? All you did was watch the off-ball players?
A single playthrough? No, I was pretty much watching the ball handler, okay.
Okay. Now, what I did, I had some free time. My semester didn't start till today, so I had some free time before school started.
While I was going through exams, so you
Exactly.
had free time, yeah.
So
Give me the
I
scoop. Tell
actually
me what did I miss?
I watched a couple of time of the video a couple of times where I would watch nothing but the players who did not have the ball. And there were some major AI lapses. I'm not going to deny that. There were some lapses, but again, we have to remember that EA is claiming this is a early video, which, granted, I think July, excuse me, the June, July, August is still early, especially if they're not going to be coming out on the first week of October.
And
So
there's no need to go, gold and go to manufacturing and wait for everything to be shipped out to all over the world. They're just going to be having to go through Microsoft's and Sony's approval process, which I doubt takes as much as long as manufacturing.
Going through the judgment of when I followed the Minecraft development and the Trials Evolution development for NBA or for Xbox Live Arcade, it takes about 1 to 2 weeks. So that's with a planned release date. But some of the things I did see was I did see some pretty good AI spacing. And there, I know there's one play that Pat shoved in my face immediately, where the Oklahoma City players kind of bunch up in one corner and pass between each other until it gets turned over. If you watch the players that aren't involved in the passing, though, each of them are moving to spots on the court that they do think is open. Now, they're wrong because they all press to one side, but they go to places like the top of the key, the 3-point line extended out a little bit to the hashtag where the coaches stand. The one of them goes to the corner, one of them goes to the opposite post. What I saw that impressed me, it really impressed me, was I saw AI that looked like it was trying to play basketball. Now, I know 2K has very, very good play calling, but I still don't really like what 2K does when the plays break down. There's still some off-ball screening and such, but what I saw was an AI, the basketball IQ that they're proclaiming, that they're advertising. I saw an AI that looked like it was trying to figure out where's an open spot, and on defense, I thought it did a pretty good job of trying to keep good spacing with ball you man, where you're trying to keep keep yourself in the middle in a good passing lane between the ball and where your player was. Now, again, the animations were terrible, and the AI didn't realize that they all shouldn't bunch to the same part of the court. There were issues with the players leaking back to go on defense rather than stick around for the offensive rebound, and that's a gif that people have been trying to make go viral. I mean, to be honest, especially with that fact right there, if you watch any NBA game, when especially in the first quarter of a non-playoff game, if a player puts up an open shot, none of the teammates stick around for the rebound. Maybe a center does, but all the other players are already past half court before that thing even hits the rim. And that's something that you can see multiple times throughout the NBA Live 13 demo. I was just watching this one player, and all of a sudden he starts running up the court. I'm like, ah, crap! I found another AI quirk. And then I realized that shot was put up on the other side of the court, and it kind of made sense because if you look at any NBA game, those players leak back like that. Now that's not something that's good basketball. That's not something that we see in 2K. We see a little bit of it for players that try to get cherry pick on the fast break. But to see that replicated, something that happens in the real NBA in a video game, something that I've noticed for the past couple of years, that brightened up my day.
So
So,
what you're
I got more. I got more.
Yeah, you've got more, but what you're saying so far sounds like if what I was wishing that was going to happen, that EA would just say screw it with the October release date, but I'm guessing they're pretty much forced by the NBA license to release a game in October. I was hoping that EA would take their time and get a good game out when it's ready. But Live 13 is going to be released in October, and what you're saying sounds to me like, okay, if EA had 6 to 8 more months to get out the game, they would get out a good one because there were some aspects that were good enough.
But if they do that, if they release a game at All-Star Weekend,
Yeah.
then they lose out on the NBA Live 14 development schedule. I mean, if you look back as since NBA Live 10, I mean, we have had an EA NBA game come out every year, We had canceled NBA Elite, but then we had a disc-based NBA Jam. And then last year we had NBA Jam on Fire edition.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's going to be an EA game because it sounds like the licensing agreement forces them to have a game come out as soon as possible, even though that disc-based NBA Jam came out in November. So, I mean, it's going to come out. The people who are saying it can't come out, it's going to get canceled. Unless all of a sudden we get NBA Jam Boom Shakalaka edition. I mean, NBA Live 13 is coming out. It's coming out digitally, which gives them more time to work on it, and they don't have to go gold and press discs, like you said. And what I saw in that crappy pre-alpha, whatever you want to call it, video, I saw potential, which is that's good for you. If you don't want to play it because the animations look jerky, that's perfectly fine. I can look past that. And the thing I do like is that animations can be very easily fixed. NBA Live 10 wasn't perfect, but they did have some pretty good animations there, especially for rebounding and blocking. Two issues that had a lot, or two things that looked absolutely terrible in Elite and in NBA Live 13. So, I mean, it might be as simple as just swapping out some animations. It might not be. I don't know. But, I mean, I'm just saying that there were some good things in that video that I appreciated to see. And, you know, talking more about the digital distribution things aspect of it, you got to remember that EA was touting a lot of console features when they showed the game at E3 and around that time. I mean, just to list them off, we had the Synergy coming back, which I don't think you've ever gotten to experience, but the Synergy data literally updated the game every day.
Okay.
And the biggest issue with it was that it you had to wait for the player to play on the new team when there was a trade before that player would be moved, which is understandable a little bit. But every day, every time there's a stat or anything, the player's hotspots, the player's tendencies, everything got updated.
Yeah, that sounds.
If that comes back with that new basketball IQ they're bragging about in a downloadable game, that's unheard of. I mean, it's unheard of to have a full basketball release like this as a downloadable game. But I think that'd be great. I mean, they're also talking about how they could update faces throughout the year, something that 2K said they could do this past year, but evidently yeah, Kobe getting a yeah, but evidently Kobe changing his hairstyle, LeBron growing a beard, Kobe getting a face mask, Chris Paul getting a face mask. None of these were, you know, warranted a update, which is silly in my opinion. We didn't get any updates, but they said they could do it, but they didn't. And then on top of the fact, we have yet to have a simulation basketball game have wingspans by 2K or by EA.
Oh,
and
God,
they said in the E3 interview that they have wingspans in the game.
Yeah.
So I mean, the gameplay.
There are some good aspects that you're mentioning, but still, everything that you said still has to translate to good gameplay. I mean, if you have Synergy, all the tendencies at hotspots and player ratings may get updated. If you have the wingspans, they will be a factor in gameplay, but if you don't apply them correctly in gameplay, if the gameplay isn't good enough to take advantage of Synergy or wingspans, it's still going to fail. What do I care if players' hotspots get updated if I can't get my player to play, if I can't get good gameplay out of that?
Well, here's the best part of it, though. I'm not denying that this is a very optimistic view. I saw the same terrible AI animation and visual issues that everyone else saw. I'm not saying they don't exist. What they're doing, what I see the plan is for a digital distribution release, and as a $20 game, it does sound like, you know, accepting the alternative role to 2K. And what that's going to do is provide people a little bit of a taste. Mm-hmm. So when, let's say NBA Live 14 looks amazing, plays amazing, and they're doing that hype machine for it, people can go back and play NBA Live 13 and see what it looked like last year and to get a better idea of what's going to be played in 2K12. I mean, 2K14. Or excuse me, NBA Live 14. Well, I was saying 2K because the point I'm making is the only thing that people can really do to try out right stick dribbling is an alternate control scheme on the 360, on the console version of 2K12. And it's nothing like what we're seeing there. So I'm not saying that, you know, on October 30th or whenever the game's going to come out, that people are going to have to make a choice between what game they're going to play, either 2K13 or NBA Live 13. I see it more as NBA Live 13 is going to be a fun little diversion, a fun little alternative thing that you can play. And then as we get closer to NBA Live 14, if they get their act together and really have a really good game to show us, we can see the true power of having NBA Live 13 available, which gave us a little... Think of it, I'm almost thinking of it as a year-long demo for a better game that's going to come out next year that we can get our feedback heard on, possibly. I think that's the best way to put it. Just to think of it as a $20 demo for next year's game that yeah. doesn't get refunded. You have to pay $60 next year anyway.
We'll see. I mean, let me try to end this discussion by giving you a positive and a negative. I mean, the positive is the thing you mentioned, that downloadable games are forced to have a trial of the game, which means that you can't say that we're going to get out an old build and give you that as a demo. You have to give the players access to some of the game's features in the final code in the game they could buy, they could just unlock at any moment. So people could just as well enjoy the Live 13 demo to Live 14 for free and check the game out and see if they are impressed at all. But if that game that we saw in the video tried to go past Microsoft's and Sony's, the validation or whatever for Xbox Live Arcade and the PlayStation Network, I doubt it would pass. I really doubt it. And
wait,
the problem is
no.
The
no,
problem
no, no,
is
no,
let me finish. The problem is that being a developer myself, and I don't see, even if that was June footage, I don't see 3 months being enough to get the game you're hoping we're going to get out of that.
Okay, Xbox Live Arcade and the PSN, they don't care if the consumer is going to get what they're hoping they can get. I've been hoping for a lot of things over the years, and I have yet to receive them. Now,
oh, come on. Microsoft and Sony employees have eyes. They can see the game is
No, that doesn't matter. Seriously, if you think it matters, I want you to look up NBA Unrivaled. It came out last year. It is the epitome of a game. It is worse than NBA Live 07. It is worse than NBA Elite 11. And it's worse than what we saw in that video of NBA Live 13. I'm not going to make you watch it on air. But if you're listening to this, if you want to see a really terrible game, just Google NBA Unrivaled. It's made by Konami. It came out on Xbox Live Arcade and PSN. It's no longer available because it did its time, it required time of being available. That is the absolute worst basketball game made that's not made by 2K or EA.
Yeah, maybe so, I've been reading too much about games getting rejected by Valve, developers trying to get them on Steam and not being able to. So maybe I was going off of that.
It's a completely different beast.
That Microsoft and Sony would have some quality assurance. You know,
Sony checks more than Microsoft, because Microsoft didn't allow the patch to go out for Fez without a complete fee being, even though the game was broken.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just a simple thing. They can release a shit game on Xbox Live Arcade. It's possible. Yeah. They can do it if they want to. I just think that's going to be better than what people are painting it out to be. I do think that what I saw after I noticed those AI quirks and notice what the AI was trying to do and how it was... I mean, the point guard, if he didn't get the ball in the backcourt when you inbounded it, the point guard would just sit there waiting for the ball even after you went past half court, and would just sit there while the offensive players played 4 and 5 for a couple seconds until he finally ran down to run. And that was on both teams, the computer and AI and the user did it. And that does tell me it's an unfinished game, but an unfinished game at that point doesn't mean it's the final game.
Yeah.
So, this is all fighting over, you know, speculation, my opinion versus your opinion. I'm with everyone else. You know, we haven't heard from EA. We don't know what's actually coming out, what's not coming out, what their plan is. But it's just a sit back and wait and see. I'm just a little bit more optimistic this week than I was last week.
Yeah. Let's just say that you see potential, and here's hoping that Live 13 will be a decent or even a good game after all. Yeah. There's, less than 2 months to try out until we are able to try out Live 13 as well. And as I said,
we'll
as I said on the Zar show, I really think that if the EVA goes as late as they can with the Live 13 release, the more time that 2K13 allows its bugs to shine and its glitches to shine.
Yep, so true.
That would give EA a better chance of people being all frustrated too early with 2K13 and wanting to try out something different. And the fact that people will be able to get a look at the game, its final code, as a demo may not bode well for EA, who would love to get people to pay first and then check out the game later. But it will be it's better for the users when all is said and done.
And even the simple way it's good for the users. Look at the leaps and bounds 2K13 seems to be making this year compared to 2K12. When we had 2K12 compared to 2K11, and that's because last year they knew they didn't have any competition, but this year there was the threat of competition, and look at how much they've done. Even if there isn't a lot of competition to be had.
Yeah, we're I'm really glad 2K didn't know of VA's demise with Live 13. Yeah, so they actually got fire under the desks and decided to, really work on the game this year. So whatever happens, we'll have...
Whatever happens, it can only be good.
Okay. I can agree with that. So
hey, no one's forcing you to buy it.
yeah, of course. And you'll get a pretty good look at the demo when that comes, when the game is released and you'll be able to play the trial. So, okay. One rumor, or actually a belief that has been going around by many bloggers and staff of other sites I'm not going to name, is that this is the end of the Live franchise. This is just a forced release to get something out there and be done with it. That they're going to bury the hatchet, and Live 13 is going to be a disappointment. Either way, they're going to see that and just give up on the franchise as a whole. What's your take on that?
Well, here's my take on it. What I'm very surprised with the video I saw was that video looked a lot like NBA Elite 11. And my understanding was that they scrapped NBA Elite 11 and they scrapped everything and they were building a brand new game. Now, what we don't see is we don't see a brand new game. We see a game that was canceled 2 years ago, kind of updated, and getting ready to be pushed out. So I don't think this is the NBA. This is the end of NBA Live. I mean, if I was going to put it one way, it almost seems like they've given up on this console generation. Mm-hmm. Why would they give up on a franchise like that? It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I know they have licensing requirements. And as I said earlier in the podcast, we had NBA, Live 10, and then we had NBA Jam on a disc, then NBA Jam on Fire Edition, and now we have NBA Live 13. There's some kind of license agreement with them and the NBA that has to have some kind of game released. So I do think they could just be releasing a game for the sake of releasing a game. And if I'm wrong, and this isn't some kind of big ploy to get NBA Live 14 on the right track, and instead of NBA Live 14, we get NBA Jam Boom Shakalaka Edition or something next year, I think that this would just gear it up for a really good launch into the next generation of consoles. We're only a couple years away from having the Xbox 720 and the PS4.
Yeah,
and if they drop their dime now and say, you know what, 2K, you won. Good job. Here's our games for the casual market or for the people who don't know any better or whatever they want to do. That's perfectly fine marketing-wise. But I think it'd be really wise of them to actually give up on this console generation and just wow the hell out of us with NBA Live 15, where 2K is going to have 2K15 and they're going to show us the same game with updated graphics, kind of like what they did going from the Xbox One to the 360.
Okay, that's a hopeful.
That's a long term. It's a long term plan, but it makes you think though, because it kind of explains their behavior as to the silence, as to what the hell did we just see, and why aren't they fessing up for it? I mean, it kind of explains like, well, we're not really proud of this. I mean, I could be completely wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope this is leading up for a great NBA Live 14 and 15 that can be ported up to the next consoles with just new graphics and play better. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's so many unknowns. And there's only so much we can speculate on. It's just each week, I guarantee you, I'm going to have some new freaking theory that I've thought of, you know, sometime during the week. Like, hey, that kind of makes sense. That kind of fits into what I'm seeing. So there's only so much we can say and do without sounding like a complete lunatic like I am right now.
Yeah, I'm tired of speculation, to be completely honest. So I hope that next time on the podcast or wherever we decide to talk about Live 13, there's something actually out there to talk about. I'm just going to put this doubt out there that besides what we hope to see, there's investors behind the whole brand and EA, and I'm not sure of what they think of what's happening right now. And I do believe that Live 13 is just, if it comes out as bad as I really don't hope it does, but I think it does, it's just a way to make up some money for what everyone invested. And the 3-year plan that EA had put out pretty much seems to have failed. I want competition for 2K. I want EA to keep putting out Live and to improve every year. And there's something sentimental about the game that I was playing when I was 7 years old, deleting my father's work from his computer because it was taking up space that Live 96 had to fill. So there's something sentimental about wanting to see the franchise back, but money talks. And I'm not sure whether there's going to be what EA could do to reassure the people that throw the money that feeds the developers to keep putting money on the Live franchise, and whether, I mean, a next-gen reboot with some nice plan and developers actually working on the game for 2 years instead of 6 to 8 months. That was EA's biggest mistake, by my opinion. You can't say we're going to scrap Elite 11 and start something anew and then give a developer team 6 to 8 months. That completely failed. They had to work on existing code. They had to work on either Live 10 or Elite 11. And maybe someone deleted Live 10's code because everyone pretty much knows that Live 10 was a better game all around than Elite 11, or that would than what Elite 11 would turn out to be. So I really hope that EA has a plan that can persuade both its customers and its investors that it's worth waiting to see what the Live franchise still has for us. I'm
Indeed.
really looking forward to what's going to happen. So, yeah, time to end this.
Yeah.
It's already going for quite
Oh
some
no,
time.
I think I'm thoroughly depressed now talking about life
Yeah.
to move on with my week.
Yeah. You got it out of your system. Now, let's go back to our work at the NLC and what's actually happening and what we actually know. So pretty much I've been hoping to see Ronnie 2K put out the first My Career screenshot, and he said about 20 minutes ago that he's waiting for the last he's waiting for
Last
the last
okay.
person to in his last okay to release the screenshot. I don't know how much work goes out into releasing a screenshot, but apparently a lot, and a lot of
Oh
people
yeah.
have to say okay, especially after Ronnie's bundle at the live PAX stream, where he said that he was a 99 overall and Grant Hill was a 55, and the whole I'm on my 4th year, but I'm 19 years of age. And the whole debacle, but that's what happens when you do things live. And we're unfortunate to have missed the My Career screenshot. We could have talked about it a bit and gave you some our first impressions on that, but we'll have all the My Player scoop in the next podcast next week. We should have a lot of information to talk about. I mean, they're
Oh yeah,
saying
no.
that they're going to
My Player
release
2.
screenshot. Yeah, they're going to release screenshots until Friday, and then Friday they're going to actually start talking about the My Player and My Career modes in 2K13. So it's going to be a really exciting week, and
Oh yeah.
we'll hope to have as much to talk about as possibly in the next podcast.
Sounds good. So for everyone, take care, have a good week, enjoy the information, and we'll hear from you next week.
Yeah, take care, guys.
I need to piss like no one's business.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. We could have paused for you to take a piss. And please don't get the iPod in the bathroom with you.
No, 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 no.
Okay. Go.